it'll be like the episode just ended, but just really ended. We were still talking.
That's crazy. Yeah, yeah. We should do that. Yeah. It'll be just wacky. They'll think we're crazy. We are kind of crazy.
I'm not. Yeah. I'm semi-ordinary.
True.
Yeah.
I'm semi-ordinary and sometimes crazy. Wait, Eric.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, everybody.
Whoops.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hey.
Hey.
Welcome back. We knew you were there.
All the time.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Chip said, they are watching. That's what he said. He said that. Mm-hmm. Just clicking a pen.
Faith, my Faith in Life pen.
Oh, wow. Big shout out to Faith in Life. This today's sponsor
has been with me for 329 days.
Wow.
And I plan for it to be with me.
Don't say that, because we've got scoundrels. We've got dirty kiss stealing sinners out there.
We do. Want to
come in here and take things.
Dirty kiss stealing sinners.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, we're in Galatians 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, yesterday we talked about how the law cannot save us. Only the grace of God can save us. We talked about how Christ is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic covenant, aka the law. And today we're going to continue. But chapter 4 starts in the middle of a thought. So it's really important that you remember chapter 3 and what was going on. Remember, so the law was a guardian until we came of age with Jesus coming in. So we didn't need the guardian anymore because we came of age, and that's when the salvation on the cross happened. So chapter 4 starts in the middle of that thought. And people get this wrong because they separate chapter 4 and chapter 3. So think of it this way, chapter 4. Mm-hmm. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they'd actually own everything their father ever had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. We're talking about the law. This is about the law.
Yeah. But when the right time came, God sent a son born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir.
Paul's concern for the Gentiles, the Galatians. Yeah. Yeah. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to the so-called gods that do not even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say, now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws.
You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely we remember, you remember, that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful and grateful spirit you felt then? I'm sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if I had it had been possible. Have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth?
Those false teachers are so eager to win your favor, but their intentions are not good. They are trying to shut you off from me so that you will pay attention only to them. If someone is eager to do good things for you, that's all right. But let them do it all the time, not just when I'm with you.
Oh, my dear children, it is as if I'm going through the labor pains for you again, and they'll continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. I wish I were with you right now so I could change my tone. But at this distance, I don't know how else to help you.
Abraham's two children. Tell me. You who want to live under the law, do you know what the law actually says? The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his freeborn wife. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise, but the son of the freeborn wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise.
These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. The first woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people receive the law that enslaved them. And now Jerusalem is like Mount Sinai in Arabia because she and her children live in slavery to the law. But the other woman, Sarah, represents a heavenly Jerusalem. She is the free woman and she is our mother. As Isaiah said, "Rejoice, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into a joyful shout, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children. than the woman who lives with her husband.
And you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of the promise just like Isaac. But you are now being persecuted by those who want you to keep the law, just as Ishmael, the child born by human effort, persecuted Isaac, the child born by the power of the Spirit.
But what do the scriptures say about that? Get rid of the slave and her son, for the son of the slave woman will not share the inheritance with the free woman's son. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman. We are children of the free woman.
Freedom in Christ, Galatians chapter 5. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law.
Yeah. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are continuing on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. If you're trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace.
But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love.
You are running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you.
Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. Yeah.
For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another.
Living by the Spirit's power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your own good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses.
When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God.
But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things.
Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let's also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another.
We harvest what we plant. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important.
Pay careful attention to your own work, and then you'll get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anybody else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct.
Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them.
Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith.
Paul's final advice. Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting.
I noticed. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. Even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples.
As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. Mm. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are now the new people of God.
From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus.
Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Another book of the Bible down.
Yeah.
It's not done yet.
Down, but not done. Very good. Good stuff here.
Yeah. Yeah. Great book. I hope everyone's kind of getting what's happening in this book, you know, especially as we read it in the middle of the book of Acts, where this struggle is really blowing up.
Yeah.
You know, what is the responsibility of the believer to the law? And Paul is laying it out very clearly here. So,
yeah,
Chip.
He is.
So yeah. What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our response to the law, so this law, you know, the law of Christ really is, you know, is what we're to be about now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the law of love. The yep. law of Christ is a law of love. You've been called to live in freedom, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in
love.
Whole law summed up, love your neighbor as yourself. So, yeah, it's the law of love. So we are now free to love each other and other people that are difficult and challenging. All people, no one excluded. And so we are to use that, use our opportunities, our freedom in Christ to love each other
mm-hmm.
every day in every way. In one way, a practical way, is in chapter 6, you know, he talks about sharing each other's
yeah.
burdens.
Yep.
And in this way, you obey the law of Christ, which is the law of
love.
Yes. And if you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourselves.
You're not that important. That was going to be my so what.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
If I had a so what for this, yeah. you're not that important. Nope.
It's about seeing other people, noticing other people, mm-hmm. loving other people, and bearing their burdens and come alongside them. It reminds me of a hiking trip I took. Man, with some of my youth leaders, this is going back, man, late 90s, Jersey Shore, and I was out in Artie Hargis. I don't know if he's a listener. He could be. He should be.
He should be.
Artie.
If you know Artie, get him on the podcast.
Yes, you might know him. I know him. Artie Hargis. We went hiking. He was having some physical issues, and he had a backpack. I had a backpack, and he just couldn't go. So I took his backpack. So yeah. I now have one on the front. I mean, they're full of stuff, one on the back. And it was hard. I was praying. It was difficult. But it reminded me of sometimes that's what we got to do for someone. You know, we got to carry their burdens. It's not easy.
No.
But it is the law of Christ, the law of love. Why? Because he carried our burden yeah. on the cross, and it was even more painful than Artie Hargis' backpack.
That's right.
Was just crazy what he did for us. So then we now, we follow that example, and when we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love. That's just one way to do it. So you come along beside someone that's having a tough time, and you help bear their burdens, and you're there for them and encouraging them and helping them and maybe cooking for them or watching their kids or your prayer for them or with them, or maybe it's financial. However God leads you through the power of the Holy Spirit that we now have because of our faith in Christ in us to guide us and lead us. It's just a beautiful thing, and it just gives you something to do every day.
Yeah.
Fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love towards other people.
Yeah.
There you go.
But then there's a temptation that comes with that, you know, like, and I can use you as an example because you didn't do this, but you could have been like, yeah, so I stepped up and I took his backpack.
Yeah.
And I powered through and I muscled yeah. through. And
I'm amazing.
You know,
I'm incredible.
So like the tendency can be to boast,
yeah.
right? To brag about how servant hearted we are. And I do this and I do this and I do this and to boast about those things.
Mm.
And, you know, that's such a temptation. When you become a servant, when you lay aside yourself to serve other people, you might do it in that moment with the purest of intentions.
Yeah.
But then can you carry forward without boasting about that situation. You know, can you? That's really hard. I've known Chip for 2.5 years, but I've never heard that story before. So I know the only reason you brought it up is to because it connects
hard.
With the text.
It's hard. Bearing one of those burdens is hard, but it's an act of love, and it reminds us what Jesus has done for us.
Yep.
It's not easy. It's,
and that's exactly where the where's Jesus is, because we might turn around and we might brag. But the only thing any of us should be out there boasting about, Paul says it himself, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
There you go.
If you want to go out there and brag about something, if you're feeling temptation to brag about something, you know what you should do? You should find the closest person. You should grab them by both shoulders, and you should scream right in their face, I have the best Savior in the whole world.
There you go.
I've got the best Savior. That's the only thing any of us should boast about ever, is that we have been saved by grace, by the most amazing act of love and provision in all of human history, in all of whatever will ever happen. And that's what we should brag about, is only Christ. We have no interest in the world, and guess what? The world's got no interest in us. But we should boast in Christ, and that's where Jesus is in the text.
Right.
He's the thing for us to brag about. So, all right.
Very good. Well, hey, we've got another day and another book.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Good to go.
Day 329.
Man,
it's crazy.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, I don't know what date it is.
I don't know what date it is, but we're getting pretty darn close to the end.
Distract the people, Chip.
Okay.
I'm going to distract you. December 30th.
We're going to talk about December 30th. We're going to have an incredible end-of-the-year party, the after party, celebrating our endeavors. You're all welcome. We'll let you know the time, the location, but we do have the date. It's December the 30th. It's a great time to party and celebrate.
It's going to be amazing. We're going to do some Bible trivia, give out some merch. Yeah. Hey, yesterday was Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah. Most of you probably didn't listen.
Yeah. And some of you are on your way to the lighting ceremony now at our church.
That's right. We'll see you at the church lighting ceremony even today.
Give us a hug when you get here.
Yeah. And grab Chip by the shoulders and shout that you have the best Savior.
Yeah, please.
Do that. He wants you to do that. He really does. He wants you to do that.
And Eric wants you to tickle him, so tickle him. He'll love that.
Yeah, it'll be really good for everybody.
It'll be really good. Amazing. Can't wait.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you tonight at the church lighting.
Yeah.
Unless you're already, and then you're
listening to us at the church lighting. If you are, wave your hands in the air.
Yeah.
So we know you're listening to us at the church lighting. But we would have forgotten that we said.
What was your friend's name? Artie Hargis?
Yeah, Artie Hargis.
Artie Hargis, we'll see you there.
Artie, that would be great to see you. Bring Kim.
You know, they always tell me, this is what they always tell me, seriously. What? They always are like, it's not a party without Artie.
I know.
That's what they always say
to me. That means he's going
to
be there. I can't wait. It's been a long time, man. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, we'll see you in a minute.
Oh, bye-bye.